Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Josh sent me a great story that he spotted in the ABA Journal, the American Bar Association Journal, written by Deborah Cassens-Weiss. I've read some other stories written by her. She likes to do stories on the unusual things in the legal profession. And of course, the ABA Journal is aimed at people who are attorneys. So some of these stories might hit the mainstream news, some of them might not. But this one's funny. And of course, it's funnier to lawyers, but it's funny to everybody. Because a lawyer who's running for the bench, she wants to be a judge, says her experience as a vexatious litigant would make her a better judge. So just to summarize that headline, a woman wants to be a judge. She is running for judge. And when someone pointed out, wait, you're the one who filed all those crazy lawsuits, she said, yeah, that'll make me a better judge. She's from Austin, Texas, and she's running for a judgeship in the Democratic primary. Now, I don't know if that means that judges in Texas are considered partisan, because in Michigan, they're not. You do not say, I'm a Republican running for judge or I'm a Democrat running for judge, because judgeships, the bench, is not considered to be political in that sense. Now, it is true that everyone will kind of guess where somebody stands. Some people running for judge in Michigan will actually say that they are, you know, it's code words. You know, I'm strong on crime, you know, or tough on crime versus I'm a compassionate judge. And these things can often have hidden meanings. But she told the Austin American Statesman that she'd like to be the judge in Travis County, Texas, and it would allow her to prevent others from being sanctioned the way that she has. She says, having all these experiences, I think, would make me an excellent judge. Now, in other words, she's saying that what happened to her was unfair because she got in trouble for being a vexatious litigant. And she's saying if she was a judge, she wouldn't let that happen to somebody else. So it's not that she's saying she's filed so many frivolous lawsuits she'd now make a great judge. She's saying, and I as judge would let other people file frivolous lawsuits. Connor was deemed a vexatious litigant. This is hilarious. In state courts in Texas, as well as in federal courts. So it wasn't just a state court judge who said, by the way, you are a vexatious litigant. A federal court also said that. That's in the Western District of Texas. In connection with multiple lawsuits she filed against board members of the Lost Creek Municipal Utility District. And I've spoken to people who tell me that you know, we talk about qualified immunity and about how government officials are often immune from lawsuits. And you know, we talked about, you know, the police officers who blow up somebody's house. But I've had people say, Steve, but I'm a court clerk. And people sue me for things that happen in the court. I agree that if you are simply doing your job in a way such as you took the papers and you stamped them and that you shouldn't get sued for that. But most people would say, yeah, but when the police officer steals things, he's not acting in his official capacity. And that's obviously a distinction from someone who's actually doing their job. But she was suing members of the Lost Creek Municipal Utility District. And so apparently she did that enough times to where the court said, look, stop doing this. So that designation prevents her from filing any new lawsuits on her own behalf without getting judicial permission first. And that's both in Texas state courts and the Western District of Texas, according to this article. And that's what happens. And I've mentioned before that the most common vexatious litigants you hear about are people who are in prison. So you're in prison for the rest of your life, maybe 25 life terms, maybe 900 years, whatever the most lengthy term is they can give you. And you hear about that from time to time, is that, you know, somebody's been found guilty of, you know, 17 counts of murder, and they'll get 16 life sentences run end to end. And you know, the court's making a point that you ain't never getting out, as they say. So you're sitting in court, or you're sitting in jail for the rest of your natural life. And what else you got to do? And so some people will become educated in how to file lawsuits and just start filing lawsuits. And these are, you know, usually idiotic lawsuits. And I did a video on this about the guy who said he wanted a pet rabbit and mood lighting in his cell. So if you file too many stupid lawsuits, a court can actually say, you know something, you got to stop. Now, they're not telling her she cannot file any more lawsuits. They're telling her that before you file a lawsuit, you've actually got to approach the court and say, I want to file this lawsuit and here's why, and explain it to them why this is not one of your stupid lawsuits like the ones you filed previously. And a court will look at that and then decide, oh, this one might have merit. So she's allowed to file lawsuits. She just has to jump through one more hoop based on her previous actions where the court decided that what she was doing was inappropriate. So on January 27th, U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman ordered Connor to pay $43,000 in attorney fees and expenses when they sanctioned her in the federal litigation after she filed three lawsuits against utility board members. She was previously ordered to pay more than $27,000 in fees and sanctions in state court, according to the Austin American-Statesman. Her lawsuits began in 2015 with a dispute over the installation of sidewalks in West Austin's Lost Creek neighborhood, according to the paper. A couple years later, Connor filed a state court lawsuit alleging that one of the Lost Creek board members posed as one of her clients and posted a negative online review. A state court judge tossed that lawsuit, saying it was filed after the statute of limitations had run. And here's the problem, of course. She's an attorney, so she should know about statutes of limitation. In federal court, the litigation concerned a litigation status update sent by the board to Lost Creek residents that Connor deemed to be pejorative and retaliation for exercising her First Amendment rights. Federal court found that the update was not pejorative. Connor told the Austin American-Statesman that she thinks the vexatious litigant statute is unconstitutional and was used improperly against her. And the interesting thing about our Constitution, people talk about the Constitution and just think it gives them a blanket set of inalienable rights, each more inalienable than the last, that can never be touched or modified or hindered in any way, shape, or form. And they're all very nebulous and pretty much whatever you want them to be. And if you look at the Constitution, I know most people don't bother doing that, but it's very easy to do these days. Go on the internet, type in the Constitution, and up will pop several websites that just have the Constitution in full text. And you know what you could probably do one day if you ever get really bored? Read it. And you'll see that the Constitution is fairly straightforward. The Constitution has several articles. And the first article describes Congress, House of Representatives, the Senate, what they do, what their terms are. The second article describes the presidency. What's the president do? How long are the president's terms? How many terms can the president run? It's not actually there, so that's an amendment. But so on. And then, of course, Article 3 describes the courts, the federal court system. And, of course, the court system is headed by the Supreme Court and so on. It's described in the Constitution. And state constitutions are often similarly designed. Michigan's Constitution, which has been rewritten a couple times, has the same kind of a setup where it describes the legislature, describes the executive, describes the courts. And I know that in Michigan, the courts are run by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's basically the boss court. And then it says that there shall be then trial courts and intermediate appellate courts if the Supreme Court deems them necessary, and so on and so forth. And so all of this stuff is constitutional. So the idea that courts can't run themselves because doing so is unconstitutional. Courts come from the Constitution, and what they can do is described in the Constitution. And if what they're doing is unconstitutional, take it up on appeal and get the Supreme Court to say so. Because the Supreme Court's the final arbiter on what's constitutional. Because the Constitution says so. And I know there's going to be people out there who are going to disagree with that. A bunch of sovereign citizens, for instance, think that the Supreme Court's not allowed to rule on constitutional issues, despite the fact the Constitution says right in it that the Supreme Court shall decide all controversies that arise hereunder. So the idea that the vexatious litigant statute, if it's a statute she's complaining about, then, of course, she can take that up. If it's a court rule, she could also, all of these things, obviously, could be appealed. Appeal them. See what happens. Knock yourself out. But in the meantime, there's a $43,000, almost a $43,000 attorney fee, an expense sanction, and another $27,000 fees and sanctions in state court. Well, that's a lot of money. Can you imagine blowing $70,000 that you have to pay to other people because the court said you're wrong? But she told the paper, I'm certain that neither the Texas Constitution nor the United States Constitution puts limitations on citizens suing in civil court. I'm certain that. Well, there's a lot of things that are illegal that may not be spelled out in the Constitution, because the Constitution is a starting point. The Constitution says right in it that Congress can pass bills and laws and so on that then go to the executive, and then they become law. And then if that law gets tested in the Supreme Courts and gets upheld, well, then that's the law of the land. And until that happens, it's the law of the land. And if it gets overturned, then it's not the law of the land. But all of these things, you know. So again, it's a funny concept that someone who got spanked, figuratively speaking, for filing vexatious litigation is now running for judge saying, and basically the one thing that makes me stand out as a vexatious litigant running for judge is I won't hold other people liable for being vexatious litigators. And I assure you that most rational people, if they became a judge and someone just started filing stupid lawsuits, it'd be funny for about 3 minutes. It would be tedious shortly thereafter. And then it'd become really, really annoying to the point it became vexatious. And at that point you go, you know, this has got to stop. Oh, good thing there's actually rules against it. You are a vexatious litigant. Stop. So there you go. Thanks, Josh, for the story. ABA Journal for the story. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. No one asked you to be happy. Get to work.